an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, dividing 9.39 acres into seven lots located south of Route 336, 100 feet east of Route 335. Application was reviewed. This application went through the technical advisory committee report process. We received comments up until November 22nd of 2006. The only comment that we received in addition to that is a copy of the exhibit booklet. Was provided to the commissioners earlier this week, entitled Briggs 4 LLC, and it contains an executive summary of proposed findings of fact and appendices, include the deed, proposed restrictions, an owner consent letter, the technical advisory committee comments, photographs, a soil investigation report, a feasibility study letter of intent, and a copy of the application and a site plan. That is a part of the record. I would add that on January 16th of 2007, we received a letter from Mr. Robertson as assistant county attorney that he had then received of a letter dated January 9th of 07 from James P. Sharp Esquire containing proposed restrictive covenants for his review, and be advised that I have reviewed the covenants and approved of them, and that's initialed by Mr. Robertson. That's all I have.
All right, sir. We thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Sharp again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the commission. Again, my name is James Sharp. I'm with the law firm of Moore & Rutt. My bar ID number is 4913.
Still?
With me today is Gary Butson. He is an applicant. He is a principal in Briggs 4 LLC. And also here is Dwayne Kenton, who is the owner of the property, who has also signed a consent form regarding the subdivision plan, which can be found in Exhibit C. This is an application for a subdivision in an AR1. Currently, there is one dwelling unit on the property, of which it's 9.39 acres approximately, located on the south side of Piney Neck Road, east of Dagsboro. Subdivision proposal proposes to add six additional units to that property. I would note to the court that there is an extensive executive summary located in tab one of your book. I will be going through the compliance with the subdivision ordinance located on page three of that tab. And also note that the proposal complies with the AR1 development as it is for single family homes, which meets that requirement. 99.9C1 requires that the proposed subdivision integrate the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. This proposal, there are some wetlands in the area, and one of the purposes of part of this plan is that all the state wetlands would be put in a conservation easement whereby they are to be conserved and protected. That easement would be held by the Homeowners Association, which is created in the restrictions. The Homeowners Association would then have a duty to conserve and make sure that the wetlands are maintained. There's also a scenic easement, which is between the housing line, or proposed houses would be located, and the wetlands area. This would provide not only a buffer, but it also limits any building in that area or planting of large trees or bushes, which would obstruct views from the scenic views of Pepper Creek. The applicant also proposes that throughout the community, a variety of native trees and shrubs would also be put through to further integrate that surrounding landscape. The commission will note We have a kind of a more detailed version of the site plan with some drawings about proposed locations, and if I may, you'll see this area right here is an open area currently, and we would propose to put some trees and native shrubs so that we would further integrate the area, and also to shield some of the neighborhood from the public, from the roadway. C2 requires minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. Again, there will be a conservation easement over the wetlands, and there's also a minimum 50-foot buffer from the state wetland line that's delineated in the preliminary plan. There is an existing pier on the location. That pier would be used by all the lot owners. They would have access to that through an easement over lot 3, which is, there's an existing stone boat ramp. They would have access over that to that pier. And the only minor impact which we may have to the wetlands is if individual homeowners would like to put their own piers. That is, of course, in their own discretion, and they would have to handle the deal with the DENREC regulations on their own. 999C3 requires preservation of natural and historical features. There are no known historical features on the property, but the applicant is prepared to work with the State's Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs to minimize any impacts that may arise. Again, the applicant plans to preserve as much natural features on the site so that we may maintain the wetlands and also the scenic views. 999C4 requires preservation of open space and scenic views. Again, this is part of the purpose for the scenic easement, which will allow for the views of Pepper Creek. Section 999C5 requires a minimization of tree vegetation, soil removal, and grade changes. Most of the existing trees on the property will be preserved. There is a part, there's a covenant in the restrictions, which is tab B, exhibit B in your book. There is a provision in there, section 8.8M, which states that trees are an important factor in maintaining the privacy and natural attractiveness of Piney Creek. Trees of a 4-inch diameter would be limited in removing those type of trees. The only exceptions would be for the erection and placement of a dwelling, the placement of utility lines, septic systems, driveways, outbuildings, and garden plots for safety reasons or where the tree is rotted. We feel as though this would minimize any disturbance to the trees, and as you can see from the plan, there are quite a few trees that would still be located on the property. Soil removal and grade changes would also be minimized during the final design, only to do what is necessary for proper drainage and also to cover any proposed utilities which may be needed for the development. Section 999C6 requires a screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. Again, we have, as we've pointed out up there, there will be trees and bushes put near the roadway, which would prohibit any objectionable views. There are also restrictions in the covenants, which in Exhibit B, regarding trash receptacles, if there are any fuel or storage tanks needed, machinery, large vehicles, those sort of things would either be needed to be screened or not available, not on the property whatsoever. 999C7 requires a provision for water supply. The central water is currently unavailable to this property, so we would be proposing to use on-site wells. The existing home has an on-site well, so we'd be adding 6 additional wells. Also, 999C8 requires a provision for sewage disposal. Again, there's no central sewage out to the site. The current home has a on-site septic system, and the subdivision feasibility study, which was conducted by Delaware Environmental Inc., which is tab G, states that this site has excellent soils for septic systems. So we think that that would cover the septic sewage disposal. Section 99.9C9 requires the prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. The placement of the wetlands in the conservation easement would be used as a way to prevent any surface water problems going out to there. It would be a buffer between the homes and the and Pepper Creek. There would also be erosion and sediment control measures implemented along Pepper Creek to make sure that there's not surface runoff onto Pepper Creek and thereby preventing pollution. 99.9C10 requires a minimization of erosion, sedimentation, minimization of changes in groundwater levels, minimization of increased rates of runoff, potential for flooding, design of drainage so that groundwater recharge is maximized. Again, we feel as though the retaining of much of the existing forest cover, as well as the conservation easement protecting the wetlands, will minimize erosion on the property, prevent increased runoff onto Pepper Creek. There will also be a 20-foot-wide drainage easement established per DLDOT requirements to minimize any potential for flooding and also to maximize groundwater recharge. Section 99.9C11 requires provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and adjacent ways. There's currently a long driveway on the parcel. What we're proposing is that would be turned into a street. It would slightly be modified, but there would only be one additional entrance onto Piney Neck Road as Lot 7, which here doesn't reach the proposed street, which is here. The existing driveway goes something like this. This house would have their own exit, and DLDOT has appears to be cooperating on that, that they would allow for that. We would certainly work with them on any requirements that they may bestow upon us. But this is the driveway with the street. It's less than 300 feet, is my understanding, and it would, there's a cul-de-sac at the end which would be used, and it's built to code so that an emergency vehicle could turn around in it. Section 99.9C12 requires an effect on the area property values. We feel as though the development of quality single-family homes in the area on lots of an acre in size will improve property values while maintaining the scenic views of Pepper Creek. 99.9C13 requires preservation and conservation of farmland. Currently, this parcel is not being used as farmland. There is a farm located across the street on Piney Neck Road. We feel that the road is a buffer as well as the vegetation, which is supposed to be planted between the roadway and the homes. We feel as though this will should not have a negative impact whatsoever on the agricultural the farmland operations. 99.9C14 talks about the effects of schools and public buildings and community facilities. This parcel is located in the Indian River School District. It will only add 6 additional units, and we feel as though, and most of which are anticipated as being second homes or homes for retirees, so we feel as though the impact on the schools would be minimal. 99.9C15 requires effect on area roadways and public transportation. Again, there's only 6 additional units would be added here. We would have 1 additional exit. So we think that it would be negligible impact on public roadways. 99.9C16 requires compatibility with other land uses. Recently, in the past 13 months, there have been several cluster developments which have gone up, have been approved in the area. The Landings at Pepper Creek, Pepper Creek Residential Planned Community, and Piney Neck Point, or Pepper Creek Point, I'm sorry, have all been approved within a few miles of this site. They are several hundred homes combined between all of them, so we feel as though this is compatible with the local area use. Finally, 99.9C17 talks about the effects on area roadway or area waterways. We feel again as the preservation of the wetlands will minimize any impact on the area waterways. As part of this proposal, we have several proposed conditions. They may be found in tab 2 on page 3. The seven conditions, the applicant shall comply with any DLDOT requirements for entrances. Obviously, since we're adding one, we would certainly be make sure that we comply with those. State wetlands would be located in the conservation easement as required. Applicant shall use on-site well water. Obviously, we're open to using central water if the line comes up to the property before the filing of the record plat. That would we would certainly be open to that. Likewise, with central sewer, if that line would come up to the property line, it becomes available before the filing of the record plat, we would be open to that as well. Again, any historical features on the property that are found, we would work to minimize any impact if those are discovered. Any soil and grade changes during the final design shall be limited only to what's needed for proper drainage and to cover proposed utilities. And this proposal is obviously subject to final site plan approval. I'm going to ask Mr. Butson to please come up. Would you introduce yourself to the commission?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Gary Butson. I'm a principal partner in this project and also principal in Capital Development Design, Inc., which is we're engineers, planners, and surveyors.
You've heard my presentation. Does everything meet to what your plan is for this property?
Yes.
We have some pictures which we'd like to show to the board and to the public. And I believe copies of these pictures can be found in Exhibit E of your booklet as well. You'll see this is the proposed location currently being used. This is from the other view. As you can see, these wetland areas would not be disturbed. It would be put in the conservation easement, and many of these trees would be kept in place as well. These trees would only be removed for as needed for construction. With that being said, we would respectfully request that the commission approve our proposed subdivision.
Just one quick addition. The elevation of the property is very nice. If you look at the in the back of the package that you have, there are some concept site plans which show first floor elevations, and those elevations range from 14 and a half feet to 21 feet above mean sea level. So there's a nice elevation to the property.
Thank you. All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If anyone on the commission has any questions for you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mr. Sharp,
yes,
did a very thorough and meticulous job of going through the 99.9C.
Thank you.
Considerations, I just, again, for the record, just wanted to follow up with some of the things that you brought out. You don't have a septic feasibility letter. You have a letter of intent from the environmental stated February 06.
Correct.
You would be following up with that if this application were.
That is the plan.
Yes. I believe you mentioned that access to lot 7 Your anticipation is that would be off Piney Neck Road, and you're working with DelDOT to get an approval for that?
Yes.
Is there, in your mind or the mind of the applicant, a contingency plan? If there's no entrance granted for that lot, would then there be...
That particular lot, due to the configuration of the property, would be difficult to access from the internal cul-de-sac. I don't say it's impossible, because I really haven't looked at that option very closely. There might be a way to do it with an easement, for example.
I guess what you're hoping for is to work things out with DelDOT, and then it would be
become
a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, do you have any plans for any parking down at the cul-de-sac, which is would serve as close access to the pier and boat ramp area?
Just on street parking. We anticipate this is a fairly low intensity use, and it would be mostly a pedestrian access to the existing pier. And all of the homeowners would be members of the Homeowners Association, would have the use of that pier.
I see on my plan remarks about a stone boat ramp. Will there be a boat ramp there as well alongside the pier?
There's some existing stone there now. It's not that we're going to make this a principal boat access. I think it's more in the type of use of very small boats that might try to access there.
So you don't see a problem with stacking of pickups with boat trailers down at that area, which...
That can be very, very carefully restricted and controlled by the seven members of the Homeowners Association.
My thoughts on that would be if emergency equipment had to get down there, if they had difficulties accessing or turning around a fire truck, paramedic vehicle or something, if the cul-de-sac were throttled.
Full of cars.
Yeah. Just thoughts. Not.
Mm-hmm.
Could I answer one of your questions for you, for the applicant? I'm looking at the TAC comments from Department of Transportation, and it makes reference that they added a note to their site plan that access to lots 1 through 6 shall be from the internal subdivision street, and lot 7 shall be permitted one single access from road 336. So the DelDOT has acknowledged that they're going to grant approval for that single lot. So they will give them access.
That note's on the plat.
Yeah, it's in their DelDOT impact report there.
Item 18.
Is it the intent of the applicant to have an elevated boardwalk that will sort of skirt the perimeter of this to serve also as access to the pier ramp area?
No.
Have a note on my plan, so I'll say that's obsolete. Mr. Robertson, do the restrictive covenants have the ag protection notices and ag hunting activities nearby notices?
I believe when I reviewed them that all that was covered. As Mr. Lang pointed out, in January they submitted proposed restrictive covenants, and at that point all that was addressed, which was a follow-up to my earlier memo that raised some of those questions.
All right, excellent. No other questions at this time, Mr. Chairman?
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. Gordy.
So are there any lots within the wetlands?
There would be lots that would have parts of the wetlands, but that would be in a conservation easement to the Homeowners Association. So say a lot may have 1.5 acres and 0.4 acres may be in the wetlands. they would have effectively 1.1 acres to utilize. The other 0.4 would be in that conservation easement.
Could I add just a brief comment? We were careful to meet the requirement of one usable acre above the wetland line, the state wetland line. So if you will see, there are two square footages shown under each lot number. The top number is the total lot area. The net figure is the area above the state wetland line. So each lot has 1 acre above the state wetland.
It has been the policy of the commission for a few years now that we do not accept wetlands within lot lines, that your lots would not include any wetlands. From what you described, it sounds like you could probably do that, because if you have an acre that's usable, then that would be the lot. The issue stemming from the fact that an individual owner typically isn't familiar with these issues, is not going to know where the wetlands start and stop, isn't going to realize that they can't do anything there, but they do typically understand property lines. So that's the reasoning behind that, and I think that might be Mr. Gordy's concern.
I guess the one concern, or maybe it's a question, if a homeowner wanted to build a pier, they would have to then build it through a parcel of land that they don't own.
Well, your homeowners association would own it. And
yes,
would be an issue for them to address.
Common area.
The common area. Because wetlands are in effect common areas. They could choose.
We seem that in the restrictive covenants, there's in some method you could build in a license if you wanted to allow lot owners to put, a single dock or however you wanted to handle it, subject to DENREC's approval if you wanted to do that. As Mr. Whitley pointed out, though, that the commission has been, I think, almost without exception. I can't think of anywhere.
There have been no exceptions since we started doing it. Fair.
And in fact, that was a note from engineering back in 2006. In one of their notes.
That's an interesting suggestion, Mr. Robertson, that hadn't occurred to me before. That if you want to grant somebody access across the wetlands for a specific purpose, you can do that by deed. It could be in the deed for that lot, I would suspect, and in the covenants and the articles of your homeowners association, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So I think you can accommodate that. I don't think it's a deal breaker for you.
Okay.
What next, Mr. Gordy?
That's it.
Okay.
Questions.
Mr. Johnson.
In your concept plan, the preliminary plan that you have submitted, can you indicate where any stormwater management ponds might be?
We have looked at the stormwater issue. It's a very permeable soil. And the drainage from the home sites goes to the street, goes to the swale along each side of the street. And there would be some stormwater facility up at the beginning of the area of the storm drain up at near the entrance court. Now, that might take the form, we haven't done the final design on that yet, but that would take the form of probably some kind of a bioretention area, a shallow storage, clean up the debris, and then before it would go to the pipe that then discharges down at the wetland line.
So am I hearing that you're not anticipating a stormwater management pond?
I don't think we will need a pond at this point. I think we can use infiltration and grass swales to satisfy the requirements for water quality.
And in the presentation, there was the discussion of the different projects that have already been approved, and you make reference to about 500 approved dwelling units. What would you estimate your nearest, your distance is to your nearest development?
If I may, might
sure.
be easier to show here. And this is, you can see this on your site plan as well. This is County Road 335. There's a parcel here, and I believe there's another parcel.
Existing subdivision.
Existing subdivision right here. So there, it's very close to one. And then the other ones are just down the road a little ways further, not very far at all. Within this block, when 335 comes up and then there's another road, there is, I believe, two subdivisions in that block, and then I believe there's another subdivision block after that or proposed to receive approval. So they're very close as far as location to this site.
Because one of the things I heard in the presentation was the statement that if the sewer line came to your property line, you'd consider connecting. What about if you were to reach out, whether you're talking distance of hundreds of yards or whatever, to connect to a central system rather than putting in six new septic systems?
It would be a fairly long distance, I think, to connect. Plus, I don't know the status of any proposed treatment facilities there. Or whether we could, be allowed to hook up to those. But we would like to proceed on a fairly quick time frame to do our record plat and do our cul-de-sac construction. And those projects may take a while to come online.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burton?
All my questions have been answered.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Couts?
One technical point. In lot 7, I believe it is, you've got the drawing shows an encroachment of your proposed building site into the setback, just a very small corner in the bottom left.
Oh yeah, I see.
Okay, just address that. And
okay.
Final. The other point is sort of related to the last line of questioning. The records available to me indicate that there's a Tidewater water certificate of convenience and public necessity for the adjacent parcel to the west, one right next to your site, the vacant tract that you were talking about. Have you explored expanding that CPCN to include this parcel?
Wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware of it either.
Okay. I can get you the details on that if you want, but apparently there's a CPCN there.
I
don't know the details of it, but it might be worth exploring.
Okay.
That's all.
And the office can furnish you with that information. I think everyone recognizes that unless it is right next door, it probably doesn't make sense, but it may be right next door,
right.
And I think it might be a good idea to at least investigate that.
Okay.
Mr. Robertson.
No questions. I would just follow up on that. Probably the place to check, too, would be the Public Service Commission on both of those to see if there's been CPCNs issued for either wastewater or water. I could tell you really quickly. Questions?
Anything else, Mr. Lang?
No, that's all.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If we could, since Mr. Butson, I guess, has answered some of Mr. Johnson's questions technically, he could give the commission his credentials to do so as an engineer.
All right then.
Yes, I'm a partner with an engineer. I am not a civil engineer. I'm a landscape architect.
Right.
And I don't represent being a civil engineer. However, I've been running planning departments for 40 years, so I know a lot about land use planning and how to put projects together, and I can provide you an extensive list if you'd like to look at our website. We have numerous projects on there, most of which I have had a very close hand at the design work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right, gentlemen, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-18 Briggs 4 LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-18 Briggs 4 LLC? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public